I'm Christian Abbott.
I'm Nathan Lavender.
I'm Sean Abbott.
And this is the Red Mist Podcast.
Hello, welcome to the Red Mist Podcast, Season 3, Episode 26. The Andretti Autosport, number 26, Cambridge IndyCar.
You weren't going to go with the other one?
What was the other one?
The Wonder Bread.
Oh.
26.
The Ricky Bobby.
Yeah.
Of... What was the team?
Dennett Racing.
Dennett Racing.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. No, I didn't go with the Wonder Bread.
That would fulfill Nate's NASCAR.
Yeah, I know, but NASCAR, we've had enough NASCAR. Yeah. Anyways, on tonight's episode, we'll talk briefly about NASCAR. And then we'll talk some F1 from the Red Bull Ring. Controversy.
Sure.
Walk through the Spa 24.
Yeah, walk.
Well, it was actually, you know, when you get 60 some cars, there was one bad crash. There were two. The Porsche that went up and over, and then the Ferrari that got wiped out on the front straight and then got hit. Did you see that?
The Ferrari one I saw, the Porsche one I
didn't. Oh, you didn't see it? Yeah, the Porsche up the top of the camel. He went into the chicane there.
Yeah.
And put it up and over. Okay. And then, we had 6 hours of rain overnight. Not much you can do there.
Yeah.
And then we'll get to it. Finish. The finish was controversial, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I got some thoughts on that, but anyways, and then we have some news and notes, and then we'll look ahead to the British Grand Prix. Is it the British Grand Prix or the Grand Prix of Great Britain? It's not the Grand Prix of England. It's the British Grand Prix.
It's the coming home Grand Prix.
Right, it's coming home.
Yeah,
yeah. Much like the England soccer team is going to be coming home this weekend too. They won't be bringing it home, but they'll come at home. You can only wish this weekend you know what? Who's England playing? Oh, Switzerland. Oh, damn.
It's very neutral.
No, I know, but the Netherlands are in there. Imagine if...
Oh.
Oh, if Max won and then the Netherlands beat him. Oh.
Yeah.
Silverstone would burn. But anyways. Mm-hmm. So we have the British Grand Prix this weekend. Can't wait. And then IndyCar, Mid-Ohio. And we have IMSA, north of the border. No GTP cars this weekend.
No.
But a lot of GTP drivers are going ahead. GTP.
We got one more week.
Oh, is it 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Oh, it's not this weekend?
No.
Oh, they finally give everybody a weekend off that's been doing sports car racing for the last 6 weeks?
Yeah.
All right. Oh, yeah. And then we'll delve slightly into NASCAR in Chicago because it is a street course race. I really want to parlay it. I want to...
For the repeat,
yeah, but I want to do double, like he wins Xfinity and Cup, but I don't know if that'll, you know,
it'd be a weekend.
It'd be awesome if he did. Anyways, all right, let's start with NASCAR at Nashville Super Speedway, which really isn't in Nashville. It's near Nashville.
Still the better racetrack in the area.
Yeah, it's fine. Rain interrupted race. Shocked. It was only 1,000 degrees there all weekend. So great time to be in Middle America. And then, you know, somehow Logano saved massive amounts of fuel and won the race. Left a lot of questions out there. Car did pass tech, but I'm sure that car is going to be looked at a little bit more. I don't really have anything to say about this race other than that. It was, I watched the highlights and uneventful. Best way to describe it on my end.
As usual, I did not watch the race, so
okay. Did you watch anything with the highlights or no?
Yes, I watched the F1 race, and then I caught the ending of the Spa 24 because I was not home to watch that.
But you didn't watch any of the no highlights of this?
Of the NASCAR?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
No, because I, again, well, how did the race finish?
Logano won.
I know he won, but how? But was it green flag until the end, or was it?
It was. It was a couple crashes and then green flag to the end. But he somehow saved some inordinate amount of fuel, which no one could save, and people were running out of gas.
Sorry, I did see one highlight that Larson ran out of fuel on one of the restarts, put Busch in the wall because everyone stacked up and didn't know what was going on.
Denny threw a hissy fit at Kyle because he didn't like getting passed. On the stage, for the stage, they cut Larson passed him at the stripe, beat him on the end of the stage, and Denny got all pissed. I don't. It's Denny. It's Denny.
It's the halfway point of a race.
I know, but it's Denny. You're not supposed to touch him. You're not supposed to do anything to him. You know, it's just the way he is. Yeah. Anyways, typical NASCAR crap.
Yep.
Let's just take a quick peek at the standings. I don't think anything's changed. Larson is still leading, and he's in. Elliott is in second, and in. Denny's third, and in. Reddick's third, fourth, and in. Truex, no wins, fifth. Christopher Bell, in. Byron, in. Blaney, in. Keselowski, ninth, and in. Then we have Logano's in, but he's in 14th, but he's in. Suarez is in. He's in 18th. Cindric is in. And then of the non-folks that aren't automatically in, we have Gibbs in 10th. Chastain, 11th. Buescher, who's still, I'm still waiting for him to get a win. 12th, Bowman, shockingly, has no win, and he's 13th. And then we have Darrell Wallace and Chase Briscoe round out the... Again, no wins, but they round up the top 16th. And Kyle Busch is the first guy looking in. So, off to Chicago this weekend. I suggest that they just give the trophies to Shane Van Gisbergen, SVG. Why not? Now, last year when he came and did this, right?
Yeah.
He literally... No NASCAR experience, right? That was his first weekend in a NASCAR car, right? Mm-hmm. Other than some testing. Now he's tested the cars, so he knows what they do.
Yeah.
So,
I know.
I'm going to just wish the field good luck. Anyways, I'm disappointed, though. There's no other, there's a bunch of the Aussie guys, supercar guys coming. I did they have a race this weekend? Is that why they can't come? Because I'd love it if there was a few of them there.
Let's see.
It'd actually be a good race if Scotty Mack went, but I mean, I know he's going to be at Mid Ohio.
Yeah,
that'd be fun.
Yeah, that would have been. Yes, there is a supercar race.
That's why they're not there. Where are they?
Townsville. The 500.
Yeah, Townsville's a good. That's a gnarly little track. Mm. Okay, cool. All right. So, explains that. Anyways. A lot of double duty guys this weekend in Cup and Xfinity.
Yeah.
SVG, Logano, Suarez, Larson's doing double duty. Don't know. Why is he doing double duty? Doesn't he have, six sprint car races going on this weekend, too?
And it's, within reach, too.
Yeah, I mean, you can fly out to any place, you know? I mean, he's probably doing that. He's probably doing 12 of them. He's probably doing two the night of.
Yeah.
Anyways.
It looks like there's a small chance for rain in the afternoon. Small chance.
Give it to Van SVG. On Sunday?
On Sunday.
How about Saturday?
Saturday's clear.
Ugh. If it was all rain, it'd just be a romp. It'd be awesome.
I mean, there's like a 10% chance, but not, it's whether it drops or not.
Okay.
Friday, it could be wet in the morning and then dry off in the afternoon. But Sunday, it looks like there might, again, it's like a 30% chance.
I believe one of the cars is a WeatherTech-sponsored car, so he has to win for the McNeil family. It's a home race. He's driving a Wendy's car, though.
SVG?
Yeah, I think in the cup race. Huh. I think it's a Wendy's car.
He's going to get the $5 biggie bag?
I don't know. No, some spicy sauce chicken sandwich car. I don't know. So, see what happens.
All right.
All right. Let's go to the F1 weekend. Started off, you know, you would have thought that, you know, the end of the Red Bull regime had happened. You know, like the way they were coming into the weekend, and then it was just romp fest in the sprint, romp fest in qualifying.
Yeah, especially qualifying.
Yeah,
like,
you know, so you know, the sprint race, Max,
not sprint qualifying, like the actual Grand
qualifying.
Prix.
Yes, the qualifying, race, the race qualifying, the sprint practice race. I don't got nothing on that. I mean, you know, it's like, oh, Max won. Okay. That kind of cuts into his, like, iRacing stuff, doesn't it? Like, when he's doing that kind of thing?
He can do whatever he wants. I know. It doesn't matter.
Just saying. As far as the race goes, I thought the race was fine. I thought it was a good race.
Yeah.
Lando was hanging in there. And then Red Bull and what two thing? Well, two one thing. I mean, two things. They had the slow pit stop, which ate up a chunk of time. Yep. But when they had the slow pit stop, you have to be heads up in that pit lane because things happen quick in there. So, made the right decision to hold them because the last time they got away with one. They did get away with one. It barely like covered it, but it was. I wouldn't have trusted that. So when they had the slow stop, they had to hold them, which was fine. Why did they put the scrub tires on?
I think they were out of...
New tires
or the scrub set. The other thing is, I don't know how... I didn't hear how many laps were on that scrub set.
Yeah.
Because it could have just been he went out in qualifying and did an out lap, and then that was
it. Yeah.
So it's...
Hard to say. I just didn't understand that. But anyways, because every time somebody goes out on scrub tires, it never seems to work. It doesn't matter who.
I think it's always like an excuse, to be honest, of like why they did bad, because really, like you go out for one sighting lap and then that's it.
Yeah.
I don't think that's it. And if you're really that much under pressure and you put the scrub set on just to get an advantage out of it, I think it's more mental at that point than anything.
Yeah, I didn't understand that. I mean I think McLaren made the right whatever call in theirs, so
yeah McLaren did a good job. And they were smart to pit when Max did to hold him up in the pit lane.
That
was good tactical strategy from them to now, throw him off.
I'm gonna
or put pressure on them.
So let's move forward to the rest of the race. Like, there was some good mid-pack battling. You know, the Haases were in it for some reason this weekend. I have no idea, but...
It's Austria. They're...
But... The end of the race, Hülkenberg passed Red Bull to
get... Yeah, they did beat the Red Bull. Yep. Yeah.
And they sandwiched the Red Bull, so... Mm-hmm. Good on them.
Yeah.
The controversy.
Oh, you mean the Alpines fighting?
Oh, I can't even... it's just, I don't know. Anyways, I can't even. I just wait because that's now like it's now taking over. Well, Ferrari, like They out to lunch all weekend too?
No, Leclerc got damage from getting pinched on the first lap.
Yeah, but like even the rest of the weekend they weren't. They were all over the place.
Well, between them, Mercedes, and McLaren, it's always been a toss-up of who's...
Somebody has a bad weekend?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, who's leading that weekend?
But like now it is now a toss-up. But now it's been like two bad weekends in a row from Ferrari.
Yes. However, going to Silverstone, I think this is...
Is it Silverstone or Silverstone?
Great Britannia.
Yes.
I think this is where Ferrari might come back a bit because good.
Why not?
Because the car is
allegedly quick.
Allegedly, they have to win Monza, right? So the car must be built for engine power and for high speed. So it should do well.
Okay,
there.
Right.
Now whether it can hold onto its tires, that's a completely different thing because that's been their issue.
So let's get down to it. Max was under pressure. Lando's throwing everything at him, you know, screaming and yelling, doing this, he's doing that. I don't care who it is. I can't stand it. Just shut up. Mm. All right? Because they saw it, okay? They're not dumb. They're all watching. Like, the wall's watching it. The pit wall.
Who on the pit wall?
The team. The team's watching. The McLaren guys, we're going to call it, they don't need Lando screaming in there yet. They don't need Max screaming in there yet. So it's just like, just drive, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, Maxi, and this is on every one of these guys. It's all from the karting days. They all move on each other, okay? And it's all because it's because of karting. That's where they learn it all. Like, they learn how to block in karting. That's where they learn it, okay? Mm-hmm. Do I like it? No. I think it's Bush. Now, I'm sitting there going, Lando must know that Max is going to defend this to the hilt, okay? Because this is like, he's gonna win this race. He wants to win this race no matter what, just because of what it is, okay? Mm-hmm. If you're Lando, this is what I don't get with some of these guys. And, you know, I know, I don't want to, you know, I'm going to concede that Max was all over the place, and he was. And he was overly defending. But if you're Lando, there has to be a place on that track that you could have got by him without putting the car at risk.
What? Yes. And
the only other comment I have is when he came, is that turn three at the top of the hill?
Yeah.
Could he have, I'm just saying, you know, because I think I saw a video from 2 years ago where Max did the over-under on somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't Lando try that?
Well, I think that's what he was going to do that lap when he went to the outside.
And he just got to a spot where it was like, ugh.
Okay, so...
Did he overgo... Like, he should have just been laying back just a tad more, right? And then he could have done the over-under. He got too much up a side.
No, he should have been. Okay. I'll say that Max moved a little bit under braking. However, the other thing too is the point that I was thinking about while I sat there watching it was I watched Max's on board and he checks his mirror to the right and doesn't see him there.
Right.
So my thought is, well, he's not on the inside, so let's open up the corner a bit to get a better exit. And then when that happened,
Lando was there.
There on the outside.
Yeah.
So that, because, I mean, don't get me wrong. Yes, they're professionals and they know how to play
games. At the heat of the moment.
Yeah, you know how to play games and whatnot. Yeah. But on the flip end, like, Lando, this is where I don't necessarily understand Lando's either because at that point, that's the third time you're trying to move.
That's where I'm going with this.
Yeah, now. Max knows it's coming right? Yeah. And it's not like the first two times he did it clean either.
Yeah.
Like he ran Max off the road.
Yeah.
Or A better way to phrase it is Lando passed him, he used all the rope.
Yeah.
I mean, stayed within it, but used all of them, and it was and didn't really, you know, leave room.
My thing was, it just was like, look, you've tried it three times there. You know, the only other option was the next time maybe up. I'm not saying if they didn't get together, mm-hmm. the next time up, I probably would have laid back just a tad and then tried to, you know, let Max run it through the corner and then try and drag him, because the McLaren was quicker at that point had much more traction. And that's, I'm just saying, like, if Max made a move, if Max was out wide and you got to the inside and he started running, it's going to be on Max, and that's the end of that. So, I mean, this is something Lando's got to learn. I like him and everything. I think he needs to work on his racecraft a little bit. Because if you look at somebody in that field right now, Lewis in a good car has it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so curious to see where he'll be next year with the Ferrari. But when Lewis had a good, not the dominant car, but when he had a good car, mm-hmm. he was able to, you know, there was races when he started in the back and he worked his way through. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just pure racecraft. Yeah. The only other one besides Lewis out there right now that has any is Fred.
Right.
When Fred turns it on, when the car hooked up and Fred's on it, so I just, and the same can be said, Max has it sometimes, but he doesn't, you know, he's more worried about defending it to the death. And it's just like, I get it, you know, that's the way he is. What? But sometimes it's like, I don't have it today. Maybe it's just better. I get it. It was their home race, but, you know. And he had even said that the car was not, like, he was complaining about the car and, you know, driver feedback.
Yeah.
So it's just like, sometimes just, it's not our day.
Okay, Ashley, the other thing too, which was a good point that I heard.
Was that the Peter Windsor?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he mentioned that, I don't know if you want to call it conveniently or just the poor timing of it, but right after they collided, the graphic comes across the top that Lando gets a penalty for track limits.
Yeah.
So had they've, instead of sitting there and deliberating on it, because...
Oh, you mean the FIA?
Yeah, the stewards. Yeah. If they just... Oh, wow.
Yeah. Let's see, wow. A little bit of chaos there.
Got the F3 race on. If they, instead of the, we're checking this and then we'll come back to you kind of deal, if you just make the call.
Assertive.
Yeah, assertive. Yeah. And
that's
you. This is a track where right after after every qualifying, within half a lap, they can tell you whether your lap time has been deleted.
I know.
So what's holding them up?
I know.
With a race.
I don't.
So at that point, you should either know it or you don't. And especially if you are on, if you have a battle or a potential battle like this, you should be.
Yeah.
Watching these two, especially. Yes. I'm gonna get it. At that, by saying that, you know, guys in the back of the grid can get away with stuff,
right.
But when you're talking about the what's more at stake, you kind of need to put some put more eyes on it that way.
I mean, I also saw a review where on the incident in question on that lap, there was a different view, not the F1 or the camera view. There was another one from someone in the stands that had shot it, and it looks like Lando really sliced his rear tire first. You know, and you know the wing got into the car and then it made it look worse.
The initial one, I think Max hit his floor, Lando's floor. The second hit was that's where if anyone's talking about the second part of that where Max runs Lando off. At that point, Max has a punctured tire, so he doesn't have control of the car.
Yeah.
So I don't think that's that's really a great argument. And then also the, I guess the third phase of it where Max is moving across to the right, going down that next straightaway and quote unquote pinches Lando there. At that point, Max knows that he has a puncture and he's trying to get out of the way for everyone else to pass him on the right. Right. Or, I'm sorry, on the left. So.
Oh, that guy in the orange car. It was dumped him. He absolutely dumped Montoya.
Wow.
Wow. He was on the inside.
Sorry, we're watching that.
Montoya was on the outside. Well, he was on the outside and he got, literally the other guy dumped him. Anyways, no, great point. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. I think the other thing is these guys are just screaming every 5 minutes. He went off the track. Just drive the car. Drive the frigging car.
Well, but that gets back to the general problem we have with F1 tracks. And these grade one tracks. Like, I applaud them putting in the gravel.
Right. No.
But make the gravel.
No, I know.
For next year, I think they got to make the gravel wider.
But the whole thing's ingrained in their heads now, and they just do it, like, left and right. Like, if you go back in the day, guys were passing in the grass, and no one gave a rat's ass.
Yes, because that's because if you go off the track and make those passes, you're risking in the car. Yeah. Yes. Nowadays, there is no consequence.
Right. Because so the track is sanitized, allegedly.
Yeah. I get safety standards and whatnot, but you can...
It just leads to this constant whining from everybody.
The other thing...
And I'm not picking on Lando.
No.
It was every... every friggin' race week. I can't... I just... It drives me up the wall. And then it goes back up into the booth, and I got a commentator commenting on it. It's like, let it go.
The thing with...
He's off the track. He lost two positions there.
Right.
You'll probably get a penalty for that.
But the... we got the F3 race from the...
Sprint race.
Sprint race from the weekend on TV. That's what we're side commentating on as well. The better question you can ask is, say Austria was a course where there's walls right on the edge of the track. Is Lando making any of those moves?
No.
Right. So, no. I'm not saying put walls at every track. I'm just saying, like, you need that natural deterrent. If you want this racing to be quote-unquote fair, you need to... You need to have risk in there involved.
Yeah, or just, I mean, I don't know. I mean, again, some of this gets back to their karting days and how they block and chop and stuff.
Well, okay, but with that, when Max and Charles have battled, there hasn't really been...
Yeah, there's been a couple, but it's not...
But they've been able to race each other and keep going.
Yeah, but Lando gets a little... He's like Max, gets pig-headed. They both do.
Well, you're an F1, so you got to be a little bit.
So, I don't think... I mean, I don't think Charles is as pig-headed as Max and Lando about driving. I just think... So, you got two guys that are just basically going at it, and that's what's going to happen. I mean, unfortunately, I know Max... Look, Max has got his detractors and everything, but... Is what it is. At the end of the day, George benefited. He was in the right place at the right time.
Yep.
Oscar saved the day with that. He was having a tough day.
Tough weekend.
Yeah, it was just weird.
But he was able to recover really well.
Carlos set a nice weekend, finishing third. Lewis fourth. Max ended up fifth. And then we have the Haas sandwich of Hulkenberg and Perez. Hulkenberg ahead of Perez and Magnussen behind Perez. So good weekend for Haas on the points. It is what it is. I mean, I know people are just all get fired up and it's just, it's just one thing after another, but I'm going to be honest with you. it is what it is. It's pretty cutthroat.
Yeah.
You know? I think the two of them should just talk it out. You know, personally, I don't think we need, you know, Lando running around issuing threats based on the British media going, well, is your friendship over? It's like, shut up, you know? But anyways, at the end of the day, you know, Max is still up comfortably, 237 to 156 over Lando. Charles is six behind, followed by Carlos Sergio somehow hanging in there at 118. And then Piastri, Russell, Hamilton, Fred, Yuki, Lance Stroll, and then Hulk, Ricardo, Berman, Magnussen. Wow, he still hasn't got more points than Berman. But anyways.
Well, Gasly has the same amount of points as Berman.
Yeah, I know.
But
it's crazy.
Berman is ahead on the tiebreaker because he has a higher finishing position.
And then on the constructors' front, Red Bull 355, Ferrari 291, so 64 points. McLaren, about 23 behind.
Ferrari.
Mercedes, they're just on the fringe. Aston Martin, RB, and then Haas with a big weekend, now has a 10-point lead on Alpine.
Yeah, that was a really, really good weekend for us.
So this weekend we are off to Silverstone.
Rounding out the British triple header.
Yeah, the Grand Prix Britannia. Great. It'll be awesome. Hopefully Zach keeps his mouth shut this weekend. That'll be entertaining. Helmut will keep his mouth shut too. Jesus, can't stand either one of those two now. Anyways, all right. Here we go. Let's move on to Spa and the centenary running of the 24 Hours of Spa. I didn't know, though, that was 100th running.
Is it the 100th running or the 100th anniversary?
I think it's the 100th running.
I would go with the anniversary. Whatever.
All right.
If I guess.
Just like, I was like, wow, it's been around 100 years. Anyways. So, 66 cars took the, was it 66? I swear to God, it was 66. I think it was. Took the green flag and all GT3 cars, right?
Yes.
And, wow. It was, I mean, when it's dry there and these guys are going at it, it's entertaining.
Oh, yeah.
When it rains and it's not downpourish, it's still entertaining.
Yeah.
These guys are just, they're all, it's, you know, it's really good. Ferrari, the EF Corsa Ferrari dominated the race. The Porsches ran into problems, and then the BMWs ran into problems, even though BMW finished third, but they had a good start to the race, and then it went downhill. Aston kind of hung around, for most of the race. And then we went into the overnight, and then we had a long period of rain. I think it was a five-hour yellow flag. I hate to say it, similar to Le Mans. But, I mean, it's so dark, and it's like Le Mans. It's so dark, and it's so fast. You can't. You know, when it's like that, you can't risk those guys being, you know, somebody not having a huge accident. And there's been some big ones there.
They had flag statistics for the race that they were keeping track of.
Oh, wow.
There was green flag running for 14 hours and 39 minutes.
Yeah.
They've broken down yellow flags into three categories. There's just your waving or your standing yellow flag just for caution. Then there was a full course yellow category, and then also a safety car category. The full course yellow, they just did like code 60 kind of deal where they just slowed everyone down and they didn't put the field together, back them up that way.
Gotcha.
So for just your local yellow time, it was 28 minutes. So not bad there. Full course yellow, they ran for 3 hours and 37 minutes. And then safety cars, they had 17 of them, where they did 64 laps under safety car, which took 5 hours, 16 minutes. So yeah, it was a lot. In comparison, they did 361 green laps in that 14 and a half hours.
Yeah.
So.
Wow.
But yeah. So, I mean, I don't know, like 40% of the race done under yellow in some capacity. It's not great. I know there was a lot of rain, but. Yeah, the thing that between this and Le Mans too, and even the 6 hours the other week, I'm not too thrilled with the amount of yellow that's been going on. And I know, I get it, it rained during all three of them and was kind of ridiculous at some points with the amount of water that was coming down. However, like, you gotta just back off a bit. Like, there's some of the incidents that were out there that were, I get these cars can be hard to drive, but just slow down.
Yeah, but these guys are all flat out. I know.
That's the thing that kills me is like, oh, it's the perfect time to make up time. Of course it is, but it's also super easy to lose it all. And it's not like any of these guys haven't run in the rain either. So that's the thing that puzzles me, of just how much they're... I get it. It's risk versus reward, but I mean, I just really like... There's... I don't know. I guess it gets back to what we were discussing with Max and Lando, just... like biding your time and trying to find the right moment of when to really put it all together.
Using racecraft versus, you know, just, you know. You know, once we got back to running in the morning, you know, as the rain came in and we went into the early morning, the Ferrari got back on this. And the Ferrari,
it was quick all weekend.
Oh, yeah, but it had Davide Rigon and Pierre Guidi in the car along with Eliseo Rivera, who's very good.
It's a very stacked lineup.
Like, all these lineups are stacked.
Yeah, the pro lineups especially were very good.
Yeah, like, of the pro-am lineups were pretty stacked, too. So, they're out there kind of, you know, the race is kind of changing by... you know, just flip-flopping on pit stops, but the Ferrari's definitely got the advantage. And the Ferrari comes in to make the final pit stop.
Oh, God, yeah.
Comes down the pit lane, and so, two things. I don't know how race control blew this, but also, how did the team not know this?
Yeah.
Okay? And there's a Lamborghini stuck dead right in the middle of the entrance to the pit lane, right at the slow line.
Yeah.
Now, Pierre Guidi comes in, and he tries to go around the car. There's not enough room. No. So he has to back up. Then he's stuck sitting there until they can move the car.
Yeah.
But, like, the thing had been sitting there, and I don't know why race control just didn't close the pit lane. You know?
Yeah.
And so that's on them for that. So ultimately, what it did was... it allowed the Aston to leapfrog them and take the lead and go on to the win.
Yeah.
And a tough way to lose a race. I mean, especially where you dominated.
Yeah, that was really...
I mean, I'm sorry. You know, I feel for those guys, and I can understand why their podium celebration was kind of muted. Yeah. You know, Dane Train, it was two-thirds of the Dane Train. Vicky Team and Marco Sorensen in the Aston. You know, again, great job, but, you know, luck intervened.
Yep.
And that's part of racing. So You know, they got the win. The Ferrari got second. The WRT BMW of Sheldon Vandelender, Dries Van Thor, and Charlie Zwartz got third. And then we had another Aston in fourth. Mm-hmm. In the Pro-Am side of the thing, the CrowdStrike by Riley car won with George Kurtz, Ian James, Nicky Katzberg, and Colin Brown. Don't need to go through the Gold Cup, Bronze Cup, and Silver Cup.
No.
But it was, you know, but it's pretty cool.
The Pro-Am group was like six cars, and I think three of them were out halfway through the race. Right,
but the thing with Pro-Am, too, is sometimes those cars get in the mix way up front.
Yeah.
I think the weather
kind
of played into this a little bit.
This is the thing that I've been on too. Like,
I mean, because Kurtz and those guys finished 29th overall,
but
won their class.
But the thing is with that class, like if you time when you put your AM guy in,
mm-hmm.
It's basically just an all pro race at that point. Yeah. So I mean, I get it. You did it with an AM guy, but you're just timing it and trying to have the cards fall the right
this
way.
This is what cracks me up sometimes. So when I look at that, I go, that's a pretty much, when I look at that Pro-Am lineup, mm-hmm. I mean, I'm going, first off, Colin Brown and Nicky Katzberg is...
yes, very
all right. Now, George is a really good bronze driver.
Mm-hmm.
He's a step below Ben, but he's there. And then Ian James is no slouch, okay?
Mm-hmm. No.
So I'm going, that's a pretty good lineup. Now, in Bronze Cup, this one cracked me up. There were a couple lineups, but this one kind of cracked me up a bit. So it's Eddie Cheever Jr. All right, now... He's been a factory Lamborghini guy in the Super Trofeo series, mm-hmm. and he's been sort of a factory GT Ferrari guy. You know, again, really good. And he's with Lily Waidu, who won at Watkins Glen and is no slouch.
No.
And then they had Chris Froggatt, who's actually decent. I've heard of him before. And then a Jonathan Hui, who's from Asia. I don't know too much about him, so... you know, but he's I just knew that he was from the Fanuc Tech Asia series. But I'm like going, how is that a Bronze Cup car?
Yeah.
Is it because they had two bronze guys in it? Because Eddie Cheever and Lily are not slouches.
No.
It's just funny, like, kind of looking at some of this.
Yeah.
But that's the one thing I don't really understand that so much about that Fanuc Tech series. Some of the classes, I'm like, oh, gee, mm-hmm. what? Really?
Yeah.
So, anyways, so it was a fun event. Next year, a lot of controversy with it because I think it's on the same weekend that Watkins Glen. I don't know. It's moved Watkins Glen ahead a week.
No, it's like the weekend right after Le Mans.
Watkins Glen is now. No. Or no, the 24 hours the is. The
Spa 24.
Oh, this whole thing is playing. Some of the manufacturers are now saying, because the Nürburgring 24 is also in June.
Yes.
So you have Nürburgring 24 like first.
Next year, it's a lot more compact.
It's Nürburgring 24, Le Mans.
Yeah.
And Spa. And then you go to Watkins Glen for the 6 hour.
Yeah, it's
and,
not.
And the 6 hour is a big field because the GTD field is huge. So there's a lot of guys that run there that are going to be. So, I mean, there's a lot of concern among the manufacturers about drivers just being burned out. And some of the teams being burned out.
Yeah.
Because the Riley guys they went from Watkins Glen to Spa. Mm-hmm. You know, some of the drivers from Watkins Glen went right to Spa. And then some of them came right from Le Mans. So, like, if you're Kurtz and Brown, they went Le Mans, Watkins Glen, Spa. You know?
I mean,
it's crazy.
First off, crappy lifestyle.
Oh, no, it's absolutely. Yeah. I'm just saying, it's but not, it's a, you no, know, but
it is.
And you're at Le Mans for 2 weeks,
essentially,
because you have the test weekend. Then, you know, there's some downtime Monday, Tuesday, but you're right back in it on Wednesday. The only day you get down is Friday, and then you're into the race, and then you get the race over with on Sunday. And then literally on Monday, you're on a plane, regardless of whether you're private. You know, if you're George Kurtz, you're flying private. I get it. But still, I mean, you're still traveling back.
Well, and even some of the pro guys had the Detroit weekend.
Right.
If you want to throw, I mean, I shouldn't say just Detroit, but there's also other local.
Right. Look, I'm look. If I was, if I had the ability to be in it, I'd be in it. You know, or you know, if I was getting paid to do it, you know, I'm not complaining. But it is, it's getting to be a lot.
Yeah.
And these races are not, they're sprint races.
For the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, you can get understand where these manufacturers are really starting to, like, is this really a good idea?
I know.
So.
Yeah, and it's just.
And you're on some of the most demanding tracks in the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, anyways, so that kind of wraps up Spa.
Actually, that wraps up June.
That wraps up June. Yeah.
So with the end of Spa, that also completes the 72-78 hours of racing that a few guys did.
So unreal.
Congrats to them.
Yeah. So wow, what a month. All right. Let's kind of move into news and notes. Big story today came out involving one of our favorite IndyCar teams. Not Arrow McLaren.
I shouldn't say that. The management is getting to me.
Oh man. You know, I'm starting to think about this too. Yeah, and I'm starting to think about this in a certain way. Is you had, if you go back a year or two,
yeah.
What's his name? Mike Hull's stepson. He was Pato's engineer, but also he was kind of running the team, kind of managing the team too. He was there for a bit, and then all of a sudden he left. Mm-hmm. You know, and it was just like, well, I'm gonna, you know, take a step back, get married, and you know, I want to have a kid. But then all of a sudden he shows up at Ganassi. Mm. So kind of was like, well, quit, took a gardening leave, and went to Ganassi. I'm like, okay. But then again, it's Mike Hull's stepson. You know, if Mike feels he's ready and Chip feels he's ready, then good on him. And then you had Craig Hampson goes over there. He's there for about 2 years. You figure this is good. He's going to work with Alex and whoever. And all of a sudden, boom, he's gone.
Yeah.
And Craig's been around the paddock a long time. And there's a few other guys that have kind of left that have been around the paddock. And then all of a sudden we start having all these driver changes. Now, yes, the Malukas one.
Self-inflicted. Probably started a lot of this.
Well, it definitely.
Or started this season.
Started
craziness.
Something.
Yeah.
So got it. Like, you know what? We were expecting you to do this. You didn't live up to it. Okay, fine. That's the harsh realities of racing. To bring in Tao. Okay. Now Tao can't do Indy. Okay, fine. They brought Callum in, no problem there. That's what the deal was. Larson comes in, no problem, runs, you know, does everything, right? Rossi, Pato do a great job. And then you get to, you know, a couple of races out, and you know, just because your guy, one of your guys who's on an LMP2 car wins at Le Mans is all of a sudden ready to be put into the seat in an Indy car. Granted, he's kind of dominating in Indy NXT, but hasn't had any success in IndyCar. Mm-hmm. And you dump Tao after Tao went through a whole thing of giving up his Super Formula ride, which is on a par with IndyCar. He was probably making the same coin.
Oh.
You know, and leave him holding the bag, you know? And now it's like, you know, Rossi took the high road today, but they're replacing Rossi with Lundgaard. And I'm going, I'm not a Lundgaard fan.
Okay.
I like Rinus better, but I'm not a Lundgaard fan. Okay. Do I think he's better than Rossi? No, absolutely not. Is he cheaper than Rossi? Probably. Does he probably bring funding? Probably. Does Nolan Siegel bring funding? Definitely.
Yeah.
Is Arrow leaving McLaren at the end of the year? Absolutely. So this is starting to explain things. Now, the one who's going to get caught in this is going to be Pato.
Yeah.
Because Pato's going to come looking for, mm-hmm. you know, he's going to look for something, and like in terms of money, and if they don't have a big sponsor on that car, I'm, you know, or somebody that's going to fit, you know, the Arrow thing.
Yeah.
I mean, they're okay, like, Larson's going to come back, and that's going to say Hendrix.com cars on it. Okay, yeah. That's what it's going to say, yeah. or whatever. So that thing's all taken care of. Every other one of these cars, like, so I'm starting to wonder what is going on there.
Yeah, yeah.
Is it a house of cards?
It's definitely had its. The whole driver contract stuff is really is making this really evident of what the situation could potentially be. Not that they haven't said anything,
but yeah.
it's starting to add up, like you've alluded to. So I mean it I wouldn't be shocked, no. but I mean it is
now Rusty's father Peter, he takes care of, he and one other guy manage Alex. Mm-hmm. So I mean, they're not. They've been around. They've been in Europe. They've, you know, they're not. They're not new to this whole thing.
Yeah.
You know, so they were trying to negotiate a deal since the beginning of the season with Zach. Now, knowing Zach, he's talking out of both ends of his mouth. Okay, I'm getting more and more.
Yeah, I'm not.
Like, I thought he was a breath of fresh air, but now I'm going. He's more and more of a huckster.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like people can sit there and say Chip sucks. Or like, whatever. But yeah, I never see Chip. Like,
but you know the difference, though. At the end of it, Chip wins.
Chip wins. That's my whole thing. That's my whole thing. I mean,
like, he can at least justify now, why he's doing.
I'm going to be like, I guarantee you, at the end of the season with Penske, there is going to be like, I do not want to be in a closed door meeting.
Yeah.
And this doesn't include the drivers too. I guarantee you this with Roger. And this is going to be, I think he had a come to Jesus moment with his sports car team because they were horrendous. I mean, it was so on Penske, like it wasn't even funny. He's going to have it with the NASCAR team, all right? And he's definitely going to have it with the IndyCar team. And I mean, now, do I think maybe someone might leave? Maybe, but the two drivers, McLaughlin and Newgarden are going to get spoken to at the end of the season by him. Mm-hmm. Power shut his mouth, so he's not, you know, he'll...
Power's also been in it long enough.
Power's been in it long enough. The way Newgarden and McLaughlin handle it, poor.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of the team handled it. I thought Cindric and those guys handled it. They took the blame and, you know... But those guys have also been around Roger long enough. But at the end of the day, Roger's still going to blow up at everybody, and it's not even going to be funny. So, you know, he's going to take care of that. Brown, on the other hand, I have no idea what's going on over there. I mean, I get frustrated with Andretti overall because sometimes, you know, it's just like, you guys are there, but...
Yeah, it's a different...
But now I think they're starting to put it together because they went to a smaller team.
Yes.
They went to three cars, and I think that was that's been the difference. And I think next year is going to be a bigger difference with that. Now, could they come back to four and bring Rossi back? Sure.
Yeah.
I don't think that's going to happen. I will say this. I could see Shank taking a flyer on Rossi.
And
because Malukas is only signed to the end of the season.
Yeah.
And I could see that happening. Mm-hmm. Now, Malukas could end up at... Now, RLL, Letterman... Sorry. Bobby Rahal.
Yeah.
And Graham both like Malukas.
Yeah.
That's been known. Now, could Rossi end up at Rahal? Absolutely. Because you know what? He kind of fits the mentality with Bobby and he gets along with Graham. And honestly, I don't know how much more Graham's going to want to run, especially with all the crap that happened now with John Force. Well,
the other thing, too, is he could basically just take Lundgaard's
seat. Yeah, he could.
So it's not even displacing.
He could. Graham. He could. Right, but it's, you know, with Graham, it's like Graham's. I think this thing with John Force right now has kind of made him starting to rethink things because he got banged up pretty good. And granted, John Force is 70 years old, but Graham's kind of a he's a very thoughtful person. And we sometimes make fun of him. But anyways. So yeah, could I see him go over there and be the team leader over there? Absolutely. Could I see Shank taking a flyer on him? Absolutely.
Yeah.
If Andretti's going to say four cars, maybe.
Well, over there, it's Herta, Kirkwood, and Erickson.
Erickson.
Okay.
Marco's the fourth car for Indy, so it'd be five cars, but... Look, Gainbridge can just sit there and write a check all day long, and also Guggenheim can sit there and write a check all day long, too. The only other spot that he could go to, and he does have connections to this, is Prema.
Yes. Yeah. If I'm
Prema, he'd be on the list. He'd be on the list, and there's been rumors about Sargent going there because he brings funding, but also Teo drove for them.
Yeah.
So, if they could fund it, if you go Rossi and Percher, I think you're better off.
Yes.
Nothing against Logan, I'm just saying, but Logan can bring money, so.
No, but
Logan can take money and go to Rahal, too. I mean, that's.
Yeah, he could do that.
I mean.
Well, I guess the other thing, too. Well, are they committing to only two cars?
Who? Prema? Yeah. Yeah, two cars.
Because I guess.
I have to think. Prema's definitely wants funded drivers. Now, Malukas fits the bill. You know, it's just I think he's in a bit of a squeeze, and I think Alex now tips the card somewhere. He's going. He did allude to the fact that there is several things in the paddock right now. So, you know, I don't think he's going to be. I mean, anything that happens with McLaren now, it's just like I just sit there and just roll my eyes. I don't even care.
Yeah, yeah, and that's unfortunate with that
team. You know, and honestly, Pato is stalling his career with those guys. And we've talked about this, like, you know.
Well, it's unfortunate, I think, that Rossi doesn't have the pace that Pato does, because I think Rossi can bring that.
Mm-hmm. I know what you're saying.
Yeah. Car setup
and
knowledge of how to develop a car a bit better than Pato. But the thing with Pato is that he's just naturally fast, which is good for them.
Right.
But, I mean, the amount of times that he's in a race-winning position and either, one, doesn't convert and can't win, or two, wrecks the car, like, that's the tough thing with him. And I know if he's going to be a champion someday, like, it will click, or something will fall in the right way. So he has enough speed and talent to do that. It's not that he can't do it, but fast hands Pato. I'm like, yeah, fast hand Pato like gets the car in trouble a lot. That's the only downside.
Yeah. I mean,
It is a balancing act.
It's feast or famine.
Yeah, because we've compared between Pato and Colton, and it's you got two very fast kids, but man, are their driving styles very different, and is the outcome of their races a lot
the
different
one that's
too,
closest
when the cars
the
are
the one
equal.
That's closest to putting it together all the time is Colton.
Yes,
because I just don't. Sometimes wonder, I don't know if Pato gets it sometimes, like how to put the race together in segments, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's my only thing.
Well,
is he on the same level as Pillow? Absolutely not.
No.
Colton's a step behind Pillow.
Yes. Yep.
And I mean, Dixon, when it's all together, no, it's like Dixon and Pillow. So, I mean,
Dixon has the largest mental capacity out there and so many tricks up his sleeve.
At the end of the day,
to play it however he wants.
At the end of the day, he can have a crappy season as long as he puts
Ganassi top five, that's all that matters.
Yeah.
And that's how he looks at things. Mm-hmm. So, and Polo's doing the same thing. So, I mean, so anyways, so that's kind of that. That was all the freaking news.
Yeah, it'll...
It's probably going to start ramping up.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see
so it definitely
where things fall.
I guess Rossi's the next peg in the IndyCar paddock.
Yeah.
So, and then Carlos is still... No one knows.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I... Oh, in the F1 paddock.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. 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 Well, he said that he wants to make a decision pretty quick. And then I can't remember his name, but Haas's team principal said that that they were going to try and make a decision on next year's lineup soon.
Oh, God, I know it's going to be... Oh, please, God, I hope it's not Ocon, but it is. Anyways, I know it's going to be Ollie, but anyways. Okay. All right, so we got Formula One in Britain, England. Mm-hmm. So our picks.
Oh yes. All right, for F1, Nate has got his picks in. He's gone for Norris to win, Verstappen to come in second, Lewis to come in third. Or I'm sorry, Russell to come in third. My bad.
Okay.
And he had Hülkenberg as his dark horse.
All right. I'm gonna have Carlos.
Okay.
Max. Lando.
Alrighty.
My dark horse. Yuki.
Alrighty. I think Lando wins.
Okay.
I think Piastri finishes second, so I think it's a McLaren 1-2. And then I think I'm going to go with Russell third on this one. So, yeah, no Verstappen on the podium. But if... If at some point Red Bull is not going to win a race on pace, this is probably going to be the track, I think. Or, I mean, McLaren is close. Like, they're not far away.
Yeah.
So they could actually, no, you know what? I'm going to put Verstappen as third on this. So he's still on the podium, but not quite there. Because McLaren's right there. So it's just going to take one race for them to get over the hurdle and like actually get by Verstappen. And they've been inching closer in qualifying. I mean, last weekend aside. But yeah. And then Dark Horse, it wouldn't be the 4th of July weekend if we didn't have another victory over Britain with Sargeant getting on the podium or with the win. So we'll take one for the US.
All right.
And then
Mid-Ohio.
Nate has gone for Dixon to win.
Okay.
And then Armstrong is his dark horse.
Okay. I am going to go hello.
All right.
To win, continue the streak. My dark horse is going to be Romain Grosjean.
All right. I'm going to go for power to win.
Willpower.
And my dark horse will be Ray Hall.
Ah, all right. Going the hometown hero.
Yes.
All right.
And then just to update, I mentioned that Chicago weather for NASCAR might have some rain on Sunday.
Yep.
Mid-Ohio for IndyCar looks sunny.
Okay.
On Sunday, so it shouldn't be an issue there. Silverstone... it's about the same chance of rain on Sunday as NASCAR, like a 30% chance. Yep. So we'll see.
Rains in
it looks like Friday might be wet
okay
for practice. but Saturday will probably be dry. So I guess we'll see how much the teams want to get out on Friday, depending on what it's going to be like for Sunday. But yeah. Interestingly enough, I don't know why it never really clicked with me for this, but Mid-Ohio and Chicago are going to be in the 80s, but then temperature-wise, and then over in England, it's going to be 64.
Excellent.
So a lot cooler just to as we get into the summer.
All righty.
Or in comparison between here and the States. So.
Very excited about. Yeah. All right, Team Britain. Well, anyways,
I guess we'll watch the F1 race on mute this time.
Yeah.
So,
I know.
Or maybe I'll try and find the Italian broadcast.
Yeah, that would be fun.
Or the Spanish broadcast. I think one of those might be good.
Or the French.
No, because then they'll get really excited when the Alpines show.
Yeah, but if the Alpines shunt each other, it'll be fun.
Yeah.
They'll be kind of. Actually, there is no Australian coverage.
No, because like us, we have to suffer.
Could they? Could we convince the guys from Box and Neutrals to live cast a race? That would be friggin' fabulous.
Live commentary.
Yeah. Anyways, all right. And on that note,
good night. Thank you guys for listening to the Redness Podcast, hosted by Christian Abbott, Sean Abbott, and Nathan Lavin. It's produced by Christian Abbott, and music is by Alex Wart and Harrison Tate.